Bible, if you would, tonight, and open to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. We're going to read starting with verse number 14 of Hebrews chapter number 12. There are issues in everyone's life that leads to disaster waiting to happen. All of the issues are because we live in a world where we have enemies. I have enemies. You have enemies. The biggest enemy we face is the devil. The devil hates anything that is God's. Since he can no longer have your soul in hell with him, he will work to destroy your life, your joy, your peace, and steal away the victory that Jesus already has given to you. He will take your service that the Lord has planned for you. Everyone in this room and everyone under the sound of my voice tonight has a purpose in the service of our Lord. No one is exempt from that. When you got saved, God gave you a responsibility. And the devil's job is to stop you from carrying out the service that God has planned for you. In that service, God has planned rewards for you because of how you carry out his service. But the devil wants to steal from you those rewards. We're not different, you and I. All of us in this room, we all have the same frailties, the same kind of flesh, the same feelings, and so on. But we also have the same three, what I call three big enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. All of them work to destroy all that God has planned for you while we're here on this earth, as well as the rewards that he has prepared for you. There's nothing the devil can do about what's going to happen in heaven. But he sure can stop the things that are supposed to go on down here. I personally believe the more important the position that God has prepared for you, the heavier the attack is going to be from the devil to stop you from carrying out the responsibility that God has prepared for you. Not the church, not the preacher, not a religion, not a group, but Jesus himself. And I believe if you find yourself under attack often from the world, the flesh, or the devil, then you should take a note that God must have something very important for you. And the devil is doing everything in his power to stop you from carrying out the purpose that he has given for you. No life is worthless. No life is empty. Every life has a purpose. Because we have those enemies, our Father in heaven, the Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit have plans laid out for you and I to obtain victory during these attacks. One of those ways is by seeing the foe, the enemy, seeing how he works. So when the issue does come up, we know that that's where it's from. Number two, we know how to overcome it, because number three, he's already given us the victory. When we forget, I already have the victory, we have a tendency to think that victory is just simply eternity in heaven, but it's not. It's victory on this earth. If I do not carry out my responsibility that God has given to me, not as a preacher, but as a Christian, other people will suffer from my lack of carrying out my responsibilities. Multitudes will go to hell. I've got preacher boys that have been saved and called to preach under my ministry that I don't even know about sometimes. One time I got a letter not very long ago, an email from a young man at Bible college, and he thanked me because he was called to preach under my ministry. I didn't even know who the young man was. It turns out that I led his dad to Christ when his dad was a young man. His dad told him so much about me that he started listening to some tape somewhere that he had gotten from someone. He got under conviction, called to preach while listening to those tapes, went off to a Bible college and was now preparing to go to the mission field, and I didn't know anything about him. But can I tell you, that young man would not have been there if I would have laid down and allowed the devil, the world, and the flesh to stop me from carrying out the responsibility that God had given me as his servant. Yet that is his goal. I could probably tell many stories, and I know preacher could, and I'm sure that many people in this room who are not full-time ministry could tell many stories of people who have been hindered from being able to carry out their work because someone else gave up on God. The devil's desire is to get you out of church. The devil's desire is to get me to lay down on God. The devil's desire, the world's desire, and the flesh's desire is to get you and I so discouraged and so beat up and so frustrated that we walk away from church, the Bible, and prayer and think there's no hope. And I could tell you multitudes of people whom he has gotten. Years ago in this area, as well as Arkansas, we used to farm a lot of cotton. All the way into the 80s and 90s, we farmed cotton. Now you drive through Arkansas and you don't even see cotton fields anymore. Or East Texas, and you don't see cotton fields. West Texas, I don't know if they still have it or not. But we used to have peanuts out here as well. But you can't find those anywhere anymore either. But we used to drive down the road, and my kids would be in the vehicle with us. We had an RV, and we were traveling, going from church to church, holding revival meetings. And as we drive down the road, they'd always say, "Oh, look at the cotton. It looked like snow on the side of the road." And they put it in these big old bundles, you remember? And those bundles would sit out there, then they'd throw them on the back of a truck, and as the truck would drive down the road, little cotton balls would be flying off that truck the whole way, and they'd all be scattered on the side of the road. Anybody remember that besides me? Oh, yeah. We used to stop and pick up those cotton balls, and inside those, you know what you'd find? Seeds. Yeah. Couldn't eat them. But they were, you could wear clothes made out of cotton. I do today, and so do you. And one day I thought about this. I saw all the cotton in the field that was left there, because the cotton picker would go through there, you know, I don't remember what it's called, but cotton gin or something like that. Or gin got drunk on cotton, I'm not sure. And so they'd go through there and they'd pick all the cotton, and there'd be always cotton left in the field. And then there was all this cotton that'd be left in the field where the bundles had set. And then there was all this cotton in the field out along the side of the road. All of them were filled with seeds. And I thought about, that's how Christianity is. We've got an awful lot of people that were a part of the right thing and were going somewhere, and the devil picked them off. And they fell out of the bundle and laid on the ground and were strewn along the side of the road, because there's an awful lot of Christian carnage on the side of the road today. And inside of every Christian is the seed of the Word of God. And it's there so that others can be saved. And it broke my heart on the victory that the devil has in so many people's lives. But God has a plan. He doesn't want us there. So when we hear preaching and teaching of the Word of God, God often warns us in advance of the impending doom and destruction that lays before us. One of the major areas of impending doom comes through one word, and that word is bitterness. Bitterness. This is the great underlying problem of most of God's people. We're bitter. Right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. We're going to read verses 14 through 17. It says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. And he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Wow. We're going to pray for a second, then I want to talk about the underlying problem that many people have to deal with. And when folks come to the altar, oftentimes, this is the area which affects them the most. Father, thank you for what we're about to learn today. Holy Spirit, teach us, guide us, help us, walk us through this step by step so that we know the truth and we can help those around us because we see it. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a town in Wales where there was a coal mine. Over a 50-year period, they began to pile up coal debris consisting of huge piles of tips or loose rock in mining soil. They placed it on land that was above a town. This started building up layer by layer of highly porous sandstone that contained numerous underground springs that all filled that area. Over time, they began to build this mountain of useless debris all directly above a town called Abervan. For 50 years, they did this. On October 21st, 1966, there was a huge rainstorm in the town of Abervan. In fact, it had been raining for several weeks. Around noon on October 21st, 1966, the mountain of coal debris started to move. The way I understand it is over 1,400,000 cubic feet of debris smashed into the village down below, all made of coal debris and mud. Right below this mountain of coal debris was an elementary school. And 144 children and teachers died from the impact or sudden suffocation from all the debris that had been stacked above them for over 50 years. Do you know that many Christians are just in that same kind of condition today? The same dangers that were the elementary school had. For years, the devil has been laying debris of bitterness above them, problem after problem, and situation after situation where we haven't given the proper attention to. And it's been building up and 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 building up. And then a major heartache comes. A dart, if you will. An arrow from the devil. A flaming arrow aimed at your heart and it hits smack dab center. And at that very moment that it does, all that mountain of undealt with issues falls upon us, and suddenly we find that bitterness springs up inside of us. They've allowed a mountain of bitterness in their life to build up. You know, people, and so do I, who are not serving God today because they're bitter. They are miserable in their life. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness spring up, troubling you, whereby many be defiled. Right. Multitudes of Christians today have this cancerous issue of bitterness. Did you notice the word be defiled there? Bitterness in your life will not just affect you, but everyone around you. Bitterness. It's all over us. And then it spreads. Just like that mountain when it came down, it hit that school, but it didn't just hit that school. It actually spread through that whole village and destroyed many buildings and people.
Why?
Because we allow it to build up and build up and build up and build up, and we never deal with it with God. We get angry, we shake our fist, we get irritated. Suddenly life stinks, and somebody put Limburger cheese on our mustache, and the whole world stinks. And we blame God, and we blame others. But we never blame the person that needs to be blamed, and that's ourselves. Because we let bitterness take root down deep into our heart. It will infect them and their life and their testimony. A bitter husband or a bitter wife will affect their child and their spouse, and it'll go further into other family members, and before you know it, everyone is alienating everyone else from everybody. All because of bitterness. Bitterness, what is it? Bitterness is nothing more than allowing your flesh to take control of your life. We have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil's been laying all sorts of things above our head. All sorts of issues that we blame others for, that we never take to God correctly. And situation after situation and heartache after heartache, we let them sit up there, and then bitterness takes root. What is that? The flesh. It doesn't get its way. So when the devil shoots that arrow just at the right place at the right time, boom! The whole thing falls down on our head.
Right.
Many people are bitter today because they've been hurt. Something didn't go their way. See, bitterness is the fact that life isn't fair.
Yeah.
And life isn't fair.
Right.
If you ever thought life was fair, you're living a fairy tale.
Yeah, right.
Life never has been fair, never will be fair, and there is no ever excuse for it. You can say, I've done this and I've done that, and we've done this and we've done that, and we've gone here and we've gone there, and this is what happens. No, you know what? It just happens. Life isn't fair. It never has been fair, never will be fair. And if you're looking for fairness, you're living in the fairy tale land that your flesh has created for you, and that is the root of bitterness that you've allowed to spring up. Many people are hurt because something didn't go the way they wanted to. We're hurt at a church or a job because it didn't go like they thought it should. Maybe their marriage is failing. Maybe they have some circumstances around them that just they don't understand. Or they're angry at something or mad at something.
Yeah.
And we never get rid of that. It just sits there. It's always in the background. And when something comes around that just doesn't quite go right, we always run back to that. That's that pile of coal crud. It wasn't coal there. It was crud there. It was debris there. It was garbage there. It was something there that shouldn't be there that man put there.
Right.
And that's what happened to that town, and that's what happens to many Christians. Bitterness is a serious issue that can spring up quickly and destroy your life forever and your service for God. So let me give you three things about bitterness so that we can understand it, we can see it, and we can help others. And maybe even help you if it's taken a root in you. Number one, bitterness is designed by Satan to destroy your life for God. Bitterness is designed by Satan to destroy your life for God. I was telling my wife today, she didn't know I was teaching this evening, but I was telling her today that Satan is amazing. Can I tell you why? He's been around a long time. Since the beginning. He was there in the garden. He's figured out man. Now, you know what? We're not a whole lot different than Adam and Eve were. We haven't progressed. We had the same frailties they had. You read the Bible and you see how the people in the Old Testament behaved, and we're no different than them. We get right with God when we need Him, and then as soon as everything goes right, we get stiff-necked and run away from Him, just like the Israelites did. We're no different. People haven't changed. And so the devil has perfected his attack on you and me. And today we're dealing with an extremely stealth, educated perfected attack. And if we don't catch it, if we don't understand it, it will destroy people. James chapter 3. I'm going to give you lots of scripture tonight. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Hey, God's telling us these things are coming our direction. He's trying to describe to you and I what this is so that we can recognize it. And when it comes our way, we can know how to defend ourselves from it. So he's letting us know that this is all a trick by the devil. This is all designed for by him to destroy your life for God. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently. That's our job. To look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, troubling you, whereby ye may be defiled. Did you notice that word diligently? We're supposed to be work hard at work on this. It's important to guard your life. And that's the biggest matter here. We must guard ourselves. It is a diligent matter for each one of us. Notice the word spring up may be defiled. Many Christians are bitter towards others because it sprung up in us unexpectedly. I don't know about you. I love rain right now in Texas because we're about to start a 3 to 4 month period where we won't see a drop. Amen. And I would love to have a wet spring or summer. I would love to have a wet one. If it rained once or twice a week the rest of this summer, I would not mind a bit. However, more than likely, ain't going to happen. Okay? But you know what has happened in my garden, my flower garden, our flower garden in the front of our house? My wife works so hard in that thing, and she puts all these flowers down. And we go away for a week, and it rains, and you know what came up? Weeds. You know where? Everywhere. We are gone a week and a couple days. You talk about quick. You know what that was? Sprung up. And they just didn't appear little bitty things. They're big. They're bigger than some of the plants we got out there. And when we left, they weren't even there. And you know what the unique thing is we got this barrier between the ground and the air. And on top of that, we have bark. Or some kind of stuff like that. Painted up tree stuff. Stuck out in the front. And in that stuff is where it rooted in. Yeah. I mean, there's no deep root to it. But it could if we don't deal with it.
Right.
It just sprung up overnight. And here's a warning from God that bitterness can spring up overnight. One issue. One situation. One word from somebody. One little, I've had enough. Boom. Here it comes. Shoots up there. It springs up. It doesn't slowly grow. It shoots right up like a stalk.
Right.
We've got to be aware that that's how it works. So that when we notice it, we can pull that thing out by its root before it can get any worse.
Right.
Many Christians are bitter towards others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 31. Let me read this to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 31. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption, but let all bitterness. Whoa, where'd that come from? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Malice means intent to hurt someone else. God is warning you and I that this comes out of nowhere. And it comes out of communications out of our mouth. That's where the seed springs up from. That's where it's fertilized from. We get in an argument with somebody. Somebody says something to us that offends us. And before you know it, we're off and running. Boom! Running down the highway and bitterness reaches up and springs up out of nowhere and grabs our life. And now we're mad. Maybe the preacher said something. Maybe the preacher's wife didn't shake your hand like you thought she should.
Yeah.
I know she doesn't shake anybody's hand. She's so stuck up. No, I'm just saying that it can be the simplest thing. And out of nowhere, boom, comes this explosion. And you know what we do? We feed it. We feed it with words. And before you know it, we're angry inside. And probably the person that caused that anger doesn't even know that we're furious. Years ago, when we were first married, my wife said something to me as I walked out for school that morning. I went to school at Bible college, and we worked in the ministry, and then I worked a full-time job. And she said something to me, and it came across wrong. And I didn't have time to deal with it. So I went to school, and you know what I thought about? That statement. Then I went to work, and you know what I burned in my soul for 8 straight hours? That statement. When I got home, I was angry, mad, furious, but I couldn't deal with it. My wife didn't even know what she said. When I first started talking to her about it, she said, "What in the world are you talking about?" I said, "You said," she said, "When did I say that?" I said, "This morning." She said, "I don't know." Here I had boiled within myself, allowing the root, possibly a bitterness, to take root. And I fed it with words in my mind and words in my heart. And before you know it, I was ready to do battle on an innocent person. And then it spreads if we don't handle it right. It could have spread to people at work that day. It could have spread out to people at school. I could have unleashed that monster within me called bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, just shot out at everybody. I had that right! That's how I felt. But God says, "I don't." Let's look at the verses again there in Ephesians chapter 4. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it ministers grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Well, how can I grieve Him? By this right here. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now, remember, this is the devil using bitterness to destroy your life. So you can't do anything for God. That's the purpose. Now, may I say this, ladies and gentlemen? There is nobody here today that's not guilty of this. All of us are. All of us, including me. Just because I'm bringing it to you doesn't mean that I don't do this. I do it. And I'm constantly getting under conviction by God because I do it. And if I do it and you do it, then I guess everybody probably does it, huh? Number two, and we'll go, we're almost done. One of the weapons against bitterness is simple submission. One weapon against bitterness is simple submission. Do you know what the problem many Christians have with bitterness is? They have an authority problem. They want to, "I'm not submitting to nobody. Who does that preacher think he is to say this and blah, 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 blah?" And before you know it, boom! "I ain't going to let nobody tell me what to do." The Bible says in Ephesians, "Wives, submit to your husbands." Whoops. Did that say that really in there? Yeah, it does. We are a patriarchal society in the United States, but can I tell you what we've been raising for 2 generations now? A matriarchal society. Because we have a problem with authority. Doesn't take long to look well across the United States of America and see the laziness of the young man. The spinelessness of a young man. Not to stand up for that which he knows to do. Who don't want to take care of their wives or their family. Who would rather run around, play video games all day long. Hello? I think the biggest curse that ever happened to young men is video games. Go out and get a job. Take care of your family. Be a man. Put on your pants. Put on your big boy shorts. Ladies, put on your big girl panties. Get out there and do what you're supposed to do. Amen?
Amen.
It's time we quit playing games.
Yep. Right.
We don't realize that there's something that's desiring to destroy us. It's bitterness.
Right.
And it comes because we have a problem with authority. I'm not reading my Bible. Who's that preacher to tell me I need to read my Bible? Can I tell you how many people have told me that in my lifetime? I don't need to read the Bible. If God wants me to remember something from the Word of God, He'll just shoot it into my head. I got a 357 talking about shooting in the head. No, I'm just joking. The truth is that it's never going to help anybody. We need to realize that we need to submit to the authority, number one, of the Word of God.
Right.
Number two, to the authorities that are at work, because that happens a lot at work. We get bitter and angry with the boss, and everybody talks against the boss because he's the laziest man in the place and he don't do nothing.
Yeah.
Until you're the boss. Then your boss don't do nothing. Then you become the district manager, and then nobody above you does nothing. And then you become a vice president, and those presidents and those who sit in they don't do nothing. But you work like crazy. Because we don't respect authority that's above us. Whether it be in homes, or churches, or at work, or in life. Why are the police departments under fire? Literally under fire today. Because we do not respect authority in our country anymore. So America has an issue. America's opening its door to bitterness. Because we hate anybody telling us what to do. And if we just learn submission, that's the beginning of the healing process. Hebrews 13:7 and verse 7 and verse 19, or verse 17, verse 7 and verse 17. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That means the way they live. Then verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that's unprofitable for you.
Right.
Not them, but for us.
Yeah.
Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 5. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For as there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists power resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Therefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. The attitude that we have of I don't care, or who's going to tell me what to do, is the attitude that Christians have embraced in the last 20 years. It's embittered, ugly failure spiritually that has caused spiritual fatigue that's created bitterness in their lives because of the lack of submission and has removed the power of God from them. They jump from church to church to church to church, from pastor to pastor to pastor, from place to place, from work to work, and can never get any help because they refuse to submit to the authorities that are in their life, period. Not just to the pastor, because they can't find any peace. Their peace is gone. Their joy is gone. Why? Bitterness has destroyed it. Many times people will hear their pastor ask for a certain to speak on a certain subject, and the Holy Spirit convicts their heart. Many times, I should say, the Lord Jesus Christ asks the pastor to speak on a certain subject, and the Holy Spirit then convicts the heart of the people, and they need to come forward and work with that. But one of the things we must teach them as people who work at the altar is they need to realize that they need to submit to God. We need to teach them and help them and pray for them to be willing to submit not only to God, but to His Word.
Right.
Not only to His Word, but to those whom God has placed in authority above them. I'm going to say one more thing and then I've got to stop for the night. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to say, and fathers don't, provoke your child.
Right.
Okay? But rear them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The first part is to honor your parents. Do you know for how long? All of your life. Fathers, don't provoke your child, but rear them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do you know how long that is? Till they leave your home.
Right.
So one, as a child then, I must honor my parent forever.
Right. That's right.
That's an authority given by God.
That's right. That's right.
And because of that, many young people today live in bitterness.
Right.
Because they're mad at their mom or their dad. And then many parents get in bitterness because their child has mistreated them. We live in a society that's plagued by this.
That's right.
If that happens to you, don't let bitterness come in and destroy you.
Right.
God loves you.
Amen.
He has a purpose that He's made you for. There's no one exactly like you. And there's no one that can do the job that God's called you to do.
Amen.
If that job is not done, no one will ever be able to do it.
Right.
Why? Because they got a job that they must do.
Right.
And so as a result, all the work that God has intended for you to do can't be accomplished because the root of bitterness has taken its place in our lives. This is plaguing the church in 2016.
Right.
It has plagued Christianity for a very long time.
Right.
Devil's smart.
Right.
He knows what he's doing. I got one more thing to help you with it tomorrow, and I'll give it to you next week on how to deal with bitterness, not only in our lives,
Amen.
But in the lives of other. Father, thank you so much for what you've given to us. Thank you for this simple truth. Lord, I want to help people. But just as much as I want to help people, I want help as well. And we need you. And we need your power. And we need your strength. So please, Lord, I ask that you'd work in our hearts and our lives. And you'd help us with this thing called